Hello and good morning. Once again, we're giving the opportunity to grumble. About the weather, of course. Indeed, I feel that when we talk of the weather, it appears to me to be a reflection of our mood. And talking of the weather is a deflection that diverts our personal feeling at the time from self to nature. Does that tell you that I am a psychologist? Sadly, I'm not. I'm just a grumbler, as most of us are. To give you an example, during the last week, we had a very hot spell, occasionally peppered with some thundery storms, just to break up and add variety. If we were on the seaside, the hot days were godsend. If we were on a building site, we are sweltering. And if we are old and frail, we are extremely vulnerable. These are examples of who would be exhilarated and full of joy, and who would rather it was not so hot. Of course, the seaside travellers will end up with sunburns, and I personally remember how painful they can be. Whatever our reasons for grumbling, I cast my thoughts to our neighbours across the Channel, and I mean Belgium, Holland, and especially Germany. And then I become so saddened. The pictures we see of the utter devastation of swathes of land, and the crying people who see all their life come to an end almost in an instant. We are told that in many places the floods came on so suddenly that people had just a few moments to clear out and look for some high-level ground or structure just to survive. Seeing the change of the colour of some walls on as an indication of how high the water level had reached makes me shudder. Not only the floors, but almost people had to jump out of the beds at times as the floods filled their own rooms. It doesn't take much imagination to appreciate how scaring such a situation can be. Is it any consolation that there were warning signs and that these signs were ignored? I would say it is exactly the opposite. Measures could have been implemented, undertaken, that would have at least made the catastrophe more destructive of material rather than lives. According to the Sunday Times, warnings were issued from satellites 9 days prior to the floods. They accurately indicated the area of the Rhineland between the rivers Erth and Ahr that would be affected. And 24 hours before the actual flooding, stern warnings were issued. All these were apparently ignored. How much was this due to human error or to negligence, and most probably will become apparent once the inevitable investigation will reach some conclusions. But whatever these conclusions may be, it is too late for those who have lost their homes and possessions, and sadly, irretrievably sad for those who have lost their lives and who could most probably have been saved. And it's not a number game. Whether it's 140, 180, or whatever the final tally will be, this is a most stark reminder of the global loss of environmental balance. Call it global warming or anything else, what is certain is that it is man-made. When did all this problem start? Of course, it's a process. One can see it starting with the Industrial Revolution about 200 years ago. But before then, the stench of horse dung in the roads was becoming intolerable. And of course, combined with cattle and other livestock excretions, the world's atmosphere was starting to accumulate sulfur-based compounds and gases. Nevertheless, it was the smoke and massive carbon dioxide emissions of the home and factory chimneys that really delivered the biggest punch. Then came other fossil fuel, and the millions and billions of vehicles thirsty of petrol or diesel, and the story unfolded relentlessly until our present day. Did the religions, the divines, or the philosophers warn us in the past? And I mean hundreds or thousands of years ago. No, they didn't. It didn't appear to be the issue of the day, so to speak, until recently. Except that I came across a very quaint description of how we can alter our human behavior in the following Buddhist scriptures. And like me, you may laugh when you hear it, but you will also realize what a wisdom it is. So, here goes. Just as the elephant hunter drives a huge stake into the ground and chains the wild elephant to it by the neck, in order to drive out of him his wanted forest ways and wishes, his forest unruliness, obstinacy, and violence, and to accustom him to the environment of the village, and to teach him such good behavior as is required among men in the manner that has the noble disciple to fix his mind firmly to those four fundamentals of attentiveness. So, that may be the way humans might do to drive out of themselves their wanted worldly ways and wishes, the wanted worldly unruliness, obstinacy, and violence, and win to the true and realize nirvana. Yes, I laughed at the description of tying the elephant, but it is no laughing matter to think of our duty to fix our minds attentively to take us out of unruliness, obstinacy, and violence. If the world leaders really want to save the world, they can do no better than to see how many trillions they are spending every year on arms and conflict, to realize that a fraction of this added to climate change budgets would actually save us all from nature's fury. Abdu'l-Bahá, the son of Baha'u'lláh, tells us that while the plants and animals may be able to adapt to their environment, they are unable to change it. But humans can not only adapt, but actually change. We have seen how humanity changed the environment to the worse. Now is the time for redemption. The world can do it. The world should do it. Otherwise, nature will teach us more such tragic, laden lessons. Goodbye.